Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Last week we began preparing. We began preparing for the journey of the season of Lent by hearing about the grace of our God, how God, in His grace, calls us into the vineyard, and the grace of God then is then shown to us purely out of His divine goodness and mercy. And we also then heard of the hard work of being a Christian and the great warning in taking any pride in that work of in relation to our salvation. That it is truly by grace alone. And that while we do have work to do, we should never, ever claim it for our salvation. This week then, we move on to the Word of God. It reveals to us the power of God's Word. It reveals the care needed to receive that Word unto our benefit. That this is our calling, to get things in order, to observe Lent with our extra devotions, with attending extra services, with fastings or denials of the flesh, and with every other good thing the Word teaches us. First, this lesson from the Gospel teaches us the purpose of the parables. And it's a hard teaching that some will hear and understand, and some will not. That some have ears to hear and others do not. That it is a judgment upon hardened hearts to have their ears not work. And it is best illustrated in the crowds. That day, as we heard in Luke chapter 8, when Jesus taught this parable, that it was indeed a great crowd that had gathered to Jesus. People from town to town had come to hear him. And they heard this parable. And then they moved on unto other things, maybe other teachings for a time, but eventually just back to their towns and their homes. It is the disciples of Jesus alone who stay with Jesus and ask about the parables. The Christian who finds themselves disinterested in the Word of God will in fact not be Christian for long. That this is a warning to take heed in your divine service attendance, your coming to Bible studies, your home devotional life, that you are to have ears to hear, made so by the Word and opened so to hear the Word, or be hardened. Now this is indeed a hard teaching, but this is what Jesus says. And so we leave it there. Two times the book of James, the epistle of James, speaks and references of this parable. He says, first of all, in his first chapter, to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. He says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers. He then describes this doing as bridling the tongue, helping the helpless and the needy, and keeping one, he says, unstained by the world. Later in chapter 5, James tells us to be patient in waiting for Jesus to return, waiting and even suffering without grumbling. But James has listened and he's taken to heart the teaching of the parable of the sower. And in all of this, James takes the exhortation of the parable of the various soil types, that is, the various conditions of hearts that receive the Word. And he exhorts Christians then to fight against those things which would make them not good soil, but instead bearing fruit with patience, just like Jesus taught. When Jesus teaches the parable, he says to the disciples that the seed is the Word of God. The sower is Jesus. It's His Word. By preachers and by parents, by Christian brothers and sisters, by teachers, by our very printed Bibles, Jesus sends out His Word. He sows His seed. By comparing that Word to a seed, Jesus is teaching about the Word. It has the power of life within it. It has the power to believe the Word is found in the Word. And like a seed, the word will produce its own kind. If you receive God's word, it will bring forth godly fruit. The word renews and rejuvenates year after year, season after season. That is to say, the word produces the new life of the Christian. It restarts us when we have fallen and gives us new life along the way. That the word, like a seed, is to be guarded and cared for in order that it would bear fruit. So then the parable causes us to examine how we receive such a seed that is the divine word of our God, which alone is able to make us wise unto salvation, it states itself. It should cause each one of you to examine yourselves, not examine others, but to examine yourself, how you receive the word of God. That those who do not hear the word of God, those who are not present, those who do not gather with Christians to hear the word of God, are not even given an example here. All of these have to do with people who are gathered and hear the word of God. The first example is the word that comes to the hardened ground. That is a hardened heart. That is a heart that is only outwardly present to hear the word of God. It's probably bored with the word of God. It's indifferent to it. It's arrogant, assumes that it already knows everything about it. Or it's upset at the pastor, unable to take anything of his word. This is the heart which hears the admonition and the rebuke of the word of God, but refuses to change, refuses to seek improvement, refuses to even set its desires on good things. That the word in such a place is unwelcome, and the devil, Jesus says, quickly takes it away. And as it has now become socially advantageous to not be connected to a church, this person will not stay in the church for long. Now, if you find your heart in this precarious and spiritually dangerous place, repent of your sins against the second and third commandment, that God's name is His word, and preaching is to be held sacred, and you've misused it. That hardened soil, as this person is referred to, as hardened soil must be indeed plowed up again to be made good. That God's law is His plow. And God's law will plow into your hardened heart, or God will send tribulations to turn over that hardened soil. The second example is the word which falls upon the rock. It takes root quickly, but it cannot handle the lack of moisture or the scorching heat, as Matthew's gospel tells us. And thus this initial belief that comes from the word dies. That Jesus is clear that this is the heart which hears the word gladly, believes it, but falls away when there is hardship or when there is suffering or tribulation or persecution coming. Here the person is no longer willing to suffer for the name of Jesus. Here the pressures at home to be faithful, or at work, or at school, or among our society, against being a faithful Christian, that is, a faithful and fruitful hearer of the word, here the pressure is too much. Here it might come to mind. How will you respond when your membership in this congregation, when your membership in this church is used against you? In your home, when you gather with family and friends, at your work. Make no mistake, this has happened to members already, so don't think it can't happen to you. That the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh hate the word, they hate the truth. And how well will your faith respond to the cries that you are strict? You are old-fashioned, that you discriminate, that you're bigots, or you're hateful? How will you then defend your fellow members when it happens to them? The rocky soil is indeed the heart that cannot bear the heat of the day and falls from faith. The scorching heat of this heart will pass for a time, and they may indeed experience an earthly life with less heat and so forth, until the time of judgment, when it will be revealed that the later heat, reserved for those who don't believe, is far greater. Now, if you find your heart in this spot, pray God for repentance and steadfastness. Get more around the Word of God. Form friendships among your fellow Christians and support each other. Prepare yourself to stand firm in your faith, not knowing when or where it will be where you'll be called upon to make a defense of what you believe, no matter the cost. The third example is a word which takes root, starts to grow, even starts to bear fruit. But the thorns of the cares of this life choke it out and it dies. That once again, this is the person who hears the word gladly, who believes the word, even lives in the word some. But soon, however, the devil puts all sorts of other things in the way. Other matters which then seemingly become more important, more in need of your attention. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world. Here you may want to examine what your devotion in life has been toward. Here you might ask yourself, what is the most important thing in this life? What is the most important thing in my life? What has been the most important thing in raising your children, in taking a job, in choosing a college? What receives your attention? Which do you do more? Offer up prayers and supplications to God, or pray the prayer of worry to the things of this world? Have you allowed your heart to be taken over by earthly concerns? Are you greedy toward your neighbor, your church? Have you sought to please the flesh and all of its lusts? Know this. Jesus calls the obsessing over these earthly and worldly things to be the enemy of your faith. It's the enemy of your hearing the word of God. And thus, as your head and your heart are filled with cares and concerns for this world, repent. Don't give them any more ground. Don't give them any more of your devotion. Don't give any more thought to them than what is necessary for them in this life. Because that's all those things are good for, is this life. They are fleeting, and they are, as Jesus says, deceiving. And that finally, at the end, death will show you how much they mattered. So pray for God for repentance. Pray to God for a new devotion to the one thing needful, the Word. Finally, there's the good soil. This is the heart that receives the Word with gladness, believes it, that is, trusts in it, endures any trial. It resists the temptations to care more for the world than for the Word, and then bears fruit according to godliness with all patience. This is the heart which hears the Word of God, which of course means you have to be around the Word of God to be good soil. This is the heart then that understands the Word of God, accepts it as truth, trusts it then, puts its trust in what the Word teaches. This is the heart that clings to the Word of God in both good and in hard times. This is the heart then that seeks to do good unto others as it's given opportunity. That such fruits begin in the Christian who is good soil, in the knowledge of your sins, that is contrition and sadness over sin. And then that fruit continues to be trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, having sure confidence that because he has done what he has done, you stand forgiven. And then it matures patiently to have a godly desire for the good works that God has given it to do. That these fruits will all bring new trials and new pressures, but all of that cannot rob the joy of a heart that is devoted to God. Now, much of today's sermon, much of this, I'm sure, has convicted your heart. If it hasn't, maybe go back and reread what it is to be hardened in heart and in dire need of repentance. If you are convicted of your sins and how you have disregarded the word of God, you are in the right place. That our Lord Jesus Christ has earned the forgiveness of sins, even sins against his word. That he is the sower, and today he has indeed still goes out to sow the seed of his word. That he does this by his grace. And he still throws that seed of his word out for all to receive, and that means you today. He sends his word to you. Yes, the word of the law to convict you of your sins, but also the word of the gospel to teach you that your sins are forgiven by grace through the completed and finished work of Jesus, and that your faith is then encouraged to lead a new life that Jesus has made possible for you by giving you his Holy Spirit through the same word, even today. This week ahead, may it be, and it can be, a godly week. That is a week that is full of the word. Repenting as we are given to do by our baptism, repenting daily of our sin and rising again to newness of life, trusting in Christ and then doing the work that God has given you to do. That the word teaches this. And the word gives you the new life to live it. The word delivers you the forgiveness that Jesus earned. And so by the word you stand as forgiven today. The word then also has the power to change you. The word has the power to sustain you. The word has the power to strengthen you and prepare you for life in this world. That there is nothing else that can do that for you. But it is solely done by the word of our God. And may you have it implanted in you this day for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. That Lent is coming, and we are called to prepare today. In the name of Jesus, amen.